Welcome to the Rapid Learning Center's audio tutorial on an introduction to AP Biology. By listening to this audio tutorial, you will learn about what AP Biology is, the scope of AP Biology, including three major headings, molecules and cells, heredity and evolution, organisms and populations, how to study AP Biology, what the AP exam is, AP study tips and exam tips, AP Biology concept map. Within this tutorial, we'll divide the AP Biology content into three major areas: molecules and cells, heredity and evolution, organisms and populations. In the molecules and cells section, we'll discuss the chemistry of life, structures of cells, and cellular energetics. In the heredity and evolution section, we'll discuss the heredity of human cells, molecular genetics, as well as evolutionary biology. In the organisms and populations, we'll discuss the diversity of organisms, the structure and function of plants and animals, as well as different subjects within ecology. We'll also review AP Biology study tips, as well as AP Biology exam tips. Let's begin by discussing what AP Biology is. The Advanced Placement or AP program provides students in high school the opportunity to earn a college credit or placement within college programs. There are 37 AP courses in a wide variety of subject areas now available. The AP Biology is a course similar to what a first-year biology major student would take. The AP Biology exam is a combination of multiple choice, 60%, and essay or free response, 40% questions. The exam is scored between 1 and 5. Individual institutions set their standards for credit, but on average, scores ranging between 3 and 5 will be enough to gain credit. The scope of the AP Biology exam. The writers of the exam acknowledge that teachers vary a little in the content and emphasis of a biology course. Therefore, they write questions over every topic and do not expect any one student to know them all. Let's discuss the core material for the AP exam, beginning with Unit 1, Molecules and Cells. Water, a hydrogen-bonded water network. Water is essential for life and is involved in almost all processes in the human body. Water molecules are attracted to one another, and this results in hydrogen bonding between partial negative oxygen and the partial positive hydrogen. This is known as a hydrogen-bonded water network. When a molecule is put into water, this network affects its orientation and associations. There are three major groups of organic molecules in human cells. The first we'll discuss are carbohydrates. Carbohydrates are categorized into three main forms: monosaccharides, disaccharides, and polysaccharides. The functions of carbohydrates include energy usage, energy storage, and building material, for example, cellulose in plant cell walls. They can also modify other macromolecules, including glycolipids and glycoproteins. Monosaccharides are the simplest form of carbohydrates. The most common example is glucose. Glucose contains carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen in the ratio of 1 to 2 to 1. Glucose provides energy via metabolism, glycolysis, and the Krebs cycle. And monosaccharides are the building blocks for more complex carbohydrates. The second class are lipids. Lipids are a fat-soluble molecule such as free fatty acids and cholesterol. Lipids function include energy storage, cell membrane components, and steroid hormones. Lipids also serve as intermediate signaling molecules. The third class of organic molecules are proteins. Proteins are formed by amino acids being linked together and assuming their final conformation. The amino acids are linked together through peptide bonds. Peptide bonds are chemical bonds between two molecules or amino acids, and are formed between the carboxyl group of one molecule and the amine group of the other. This is a dehydration synthesis in which water is released after the peptide bond is formed. Proteins can function in the human body in the following ways. Number one, as enzymes. This is the primary function of most proteins to catalyze reactions. Number two, cell signaling. Cell signaling proteins transmit or transduce extracellular signals into intracellular signals that can affect cell function. Review question. The following is a question based on what you have learned so far in this tutorial. Question. Define what lipids are. Answer. Lipids are a group of fat-soluble molecules such as free fatty acids and cholesterol. Lipid functions include energy storage, cell membrane components, and steroid hormones. Lipids also serve as intermediate signaling molecules. Free energy changes inside cells. Gibbs free energy, or delta G, refers to the energy a system has available for work. Delta G is the net change in free energy, that is, products minus reactants, given as kilocalories per mole or kilojoules per mole, based on the laws of thermodynamics. Whether a reaction will be exergonic or endergonic can be calculated as follows. Delta G equals delta H minus T times delta S, where delta H is the enthalpy change, delta S is the entropy change, and T is temperature. An exergonic reaction. An exergonic reaction is characterized by a delta G less than zero. In other words, it's a favorable, spontaneous reaction. An endergonic reaction. An endergonic reaction is characterized by a delta G greater than zero. The reaction is unfavorable, and it takes more energy to start the reaction than it yields. A reaction at equilibrium has a delta G equal to zero. Enzymes as catalysts. Most biochemical reactions are catalyzed by enzymes. For reactants to form products, a certain input of energy is necessary to get things going. This is called the energy of activation. Enzymes function as catalysts by lowering the energy of activation, but they do not change the Gibbs free energy. Enzymes lower the activation energy as compared to the same reaction without one, which helps ensure the reaction will proceed. Now let's compare prokaryotic cells versus eukaryotic cells. Prokaryotic cells typically lack a cell membrane and membranous organelles. Most prokaryotes are unicellular and they are divided into two domains, bacteria or archae. Eukaryotic cells. Eukaryotic cells contain a nucleus and membranous organelles, such as mitochondria and lysosomes. The majority of living organisms are eukaryotes, such as animals, fungi, protists, and plants. Now let's discuss cell structure, beginning with membranes, the lipid bilayer. The plasma membrane of mammalian cells is also known as the phospholipid bilayer. It's a semi-permeable barrier around the outside of the cell, and within its interior is the cytosol, organelles, and nucleus of the cell. The phospholipid bilayer is arranged with the hydrophobic tails of the phospholipids inside the layer. The hydrophobic head groups face out and interact with the aqueous environment outside the cell. The cell nucleus. The cell nucleus is usually near the center of the cell, and it contains the majority of the genetic material in cells. Within the nucleus, the DNA is compacted and organized into chromosomes. Also within the nucleus is the nucleolus. The nucleolus has no true membrane surrounding it, and this is where ribosomes are produced. The rough endoplasmic reticulum. The rough endoplasmic reticulum, or RER, is continuous with the outer layer of the nuclear membrane. The surface of the RER has ribosomes bound to it during protein synthesis. The RER has some key functions inside the cell, and they are packaging of lysosomal enzymes with a mannose 6-phosphate tag, the delivery of proteins for secretion in vesicles bound for the cell surface, and protein glycosylation. The Golgi complex and mitochondria. The Golgi complex is a membranous organelle made up of stacks known as cisternae. The Golgi complex has different regions that serve different functions. The transface of the Golgi complex is where the vesicles leave with their cargo for other organelles or the plasma membrane. The mitochondria produce energy to power the cell. Mitochondria convert carbohydrates or sugar taken from food into ATP. The cell cycle. The cell cycle is a series of events that takes place before the cell divides. During mitosis, or M phase, there are regulatory molecules such as cyclins and cyclin-dependent kinases which determine a cell's progression through the cell cycle. The cell cycle is divided into four phases. The G1 phase. This is the phase between the previous M phase until the beginning of DNA synthesis. This gap or growth phase is marked by the synthesis of various enzymes required for DNA replication during S phase. The next phase is S phase. During S phase, the DNA is copied, and at the end of the phase, all the chromosomes have been replicated. During this phase, the DNA in the cell has basically doubled. The G2 phase. This occurs after successful DNA replication during S phase, and it prepares the cell via rapid growth for cell division during M phase. The M phase, or mitosis, is when the parent cell divides its cytoplasm, copied organelles, and two sets of chromosomes into two daughter cells. M phase involves the following steps: prophase, prometaphase, metaphase, anaphase, and telophase. Cellular energetics and the concept of coupled reactions. Metabolism is the sum of two basic processes, catabolism and anabolism. Catabolism is the breakdown of substances which leads to the release of energy stored in chemical bonds. Anabolism is the process of building substances. It requires energy. Catabolic and anabolic processes are linked. In some cases, the energy required for an unfavorable anabolic reaction is produced from the energy released from catabolism. Cellular respiration. Oxygen is the final electron acceptor during cellular respiration and oxidative phosphorylation. Under normal circumstances, when sufficient oxygen is available, aerobic respiration takes place. Glycolysis, which takes place in the cytoplasm of cells, produces pyruvate from glucose. Next, pyruvate is converted to acetyl-CoA for use as a substrate in the Krebs cycle. Anaerobic respiration or fermentation. During strenuous exercise, the amount of oxygen available to muscle cells decreases. As oxygen availability decreases, normal ATP production also decreases, and cells use lactic acid as a substrate. The amount of ATP, coenzymes, and the energy produced and consumed are different depending on whether the cell is under aerobic or anaerobic conditions. Photosynthesis. This is a production of sugars and oxygen from plant cells. Photosynthesis converts carbon dioxide, water, and energy into sugars and oxygen. And this process is mainly done by plant life on land and phytoplankton of the oceans. Photosynthesis occurs in two stages: light-dependent reactions and light-independent reactions. The light reactions involve the absorption of light energy in the chlorophyll of the plant leaf. Photosynthesis leads to the formation of sugars and starches used by the plant itself, and subsequently it produces oxygen. This, in turn, assists herbivores. Here's another review question. Question: define photosynthesis. Answer: photosynthesis converts carbon dioxide, water, and energy into sugars and oxygen. This process is mainly done by plant life on land and phytoplankton of the oceans. It occurs in two stages: light-dependent reactions, and light-independent reactions. The next AP content we'll discuss is heredity and evolution, beginning with meiosis and gametogenesis. Meiosis is the process of gamete formation. Before meiosis, the chromosomes also have to be duplicated. The first division involves a prophase, metaphase, anaphase, and a telophase, which are very similar to mitosis. Cells continue to a second division immediately after the first division, and the two sister chromatids are separated, generating 4 1N gametes. Meiosis is different from mitosis because although the DNA replicates once, the cell divides twice. Chromosomes and inheritance patterns. Deoxyribonucleic acid, or DNA, is the blueprint of life. It's present in almost every cell in the body. DNA and its associated proteins are organized and compacted into chromosomes. Normally, there are 22 pairs of autosomes and one pair of sex chromosomes, for a total of 46. A karyotype is a visual pattern of the chromosomes within cells. By using stains and probes, whole chromosomes, short and long arms, and even small regions on chromosomes can be visualized. Gregor Mendel was a scientist and a priest who studied the inheritance of traits in pea plants. Later in the 20th century, his results were part of the foundation of the discipline of genetics. His studies using pea plants led to the formation of two main ideas, collectively known as Mendel's Laws of Inheritance. Number one, the Law of Segregation. The Law of Segregation states that two members of a gene pair, or alleles, separate from one another when forming the gametes. Each gamete carries one allele. And the second law is the Law of Independent Assortment. Genes for different traits sort independently of one another in the formation of gametes. Molecular genetics, DNA and RNA. Structurally, DNA is made up of two polymers of nucleotides in a complementary base pair double helix. These anti-parallel strands run in opposite direction from one another and are held together through hydrogen bonds. The genetic code dictates nucleic acid structure and function. The formation of the end product, amino acids and proteins, is controlled by the genetic code set of rules. RNA is usually single-stranded. It's made from a DNA blueprint. There are three types of RNA. Number one, messenger RNA. Messenger RNA binds to ribosomes and provides a template for protein translation. Number two is transfer RNA. Transfer RNA transfers a specific amino acid to the growing polypeptide protein at the site of translation. And number three, ribosomal RNA. Ribosomal RNA is the central component of the ribosome. It decodes messenger RNA and provides the actual binding site for the incoming tRNA. How do cells regulate gene expression? Gene regulation is a group of processes used by cells to control the production of gene products or proteins. The regulation of genes allows cells to adapt to changing environments, respond to cellular stress, and perform functions, such as cell division. Cells can modulate the expression of genes at the level of DNA through chromatin condensation and DNA methylation. A major site of modulation is at the level of transcription. For example, transcription factors such as activators or enhancers increase transcription, whereas repressors decrease transcription. Viruses are also made of nucleic acids. Viruses are one of the smallest infectious agents. However, they are not classified as living biological organisms. Viruses contain genes made from either RNA or DNA, protein coats, and some contain an envelope surrounding them. Viruses must infect a host cell in order to replicate and impact the organism. Examples include the influenza viruses, HIV, and rotaviruses. There are two forms of viral replication. Number one, the lytic cycle. In the lytic cycle, at the end of the virus cycle, the host cell is damaged and virus particles are released. Number two is the lysogenic cycle. This does not cause a destruction of the host cell, and the viral genetic information can be passed on to host daughter cells. Nucleic acid technology. Polymerase chain reaction, or PCR. PCR is a technique used to amplify a single or small number of copies of a sequence of DNA to allow molecular studies to take place. Nucleic acid samples are transferred into PCR tubes to be used in the thermocycler. Gene splicing or genetic engineering. Gene splicing is the process of modifying a target gene's or organism's DNA by direct manipulation. Target sequences of DNA can be cut out of their normal context and spliced into a new region of DNA. Gene splicing can be used in vaccine development, genetically modified food production, as well as biological studies into diseases such as cancer. An example of nucleic acid technology is the detection of mutations. Mutations are changes in the nucleotide sequence caused by copying errors or exposure to ultraviolet or radiation. Mutations can either be a local change, such as a point mutation, or a large-scale change, as in chromosomal translocations. Evolutionary biology. Within evolutionary biology, the first human apes appeared approximately within the last 5 million years. Now we'll review the nomenclature leading from the kingdom Animalia up through the nomenclature of humans, which is Homo sapiens. All animals are eukaryotic. Chordata. Chordata are animals with backbones. Mammalia. Mammalia are mammals with backbones. The next order are primates. And then hominidae. Hominidae are great ape primates. Homo are great apes, which are humanoid, and sapiens are humans. And this is how the nomenclature of Homo sapiens for humans is derived. Evidence and mechanisms of evolution. The evidence for evolution include the following. Number one, geographic distribution of living organisms. Number two, phylogeny studies, including fossils. Number three, isotope dating with carbon-14 and potassium-40. And number four, biochemical variations used as a chronometer or evolutionary clock. The main mechanisms of evolution include, number one, natural selection. Natural selection is when the natural environment affects or selects for against or for a particular trait. This leads to certain alleles becoming more prevalent in a population. The second mechanism is genetic drift. Genetic drift is the change in allele frequencies over time. Genetic drift is not caused by pressure from the surrounding environment. Instead, it's based in part to a random sample of parental alleles in the offspring. The drift can be beneficial, detrimental, or neutral to the organism. The third APU unit we'll discuss are organisms and populations. We'll discuss the diversity of organisms, the structure and function of plants and animals, as well as ecology in its various branches. The diversity of organisms. Biologists use derived characteristics to classify organisms based on evolutionary descent. So comparing traits and organisms, the default state or a new trait. An organism that's closely related to another organism has a minimum number of derived traits or new traits. The diversity of life. Species diversity is defined as certain regularities in numbers of species within an ecosystem. Species diversity or biodiversity are terms used to describe the overall health of different biological ecosystems. Biodiversity involves three main categories. A. Alpha diversity. Alpha diversity is the biodiversity within a particular community or ecosystem. B. is beta diversity. Beta diversity is the difference between species diversity between regions or ecosystems. And C is omega diversity. Omega diversity is the overall density for the ecosystems within a region. The relative species abundance. The relative abundance of a species is defined as the abundance of a species divided by the total abundance of all combined species. Christian Rankauer was a pioneer in studies of relative abundance of species. He performed studies in plants comparing the abundance of a particular plant in relation to all other plants in that region. During his studies, he noted that within each region, there is usually one or two species that are in the greatest abundance. He termed these high abundant species as dominants. And this notion of dominance in ecology has been confirmed by other ecologists. A phylogenetic tree. A phylogenetic tree is a branching graph that shows the evolutionary interrelationships between species and shows the common ancestor. Each node represents the most recent common ancestor of the descendants, and the lengths of the branches are time estimates. Evolutionary relationships. Modern taxonomy is based on evolutionary relationships. Traditional classification was based on the similarity of physical traits, but because organisms can have similar shapes and different physiological appearance, traditional methods were not sufficient. Therefore, modern classification methods use evolutionary relationships. Organism groupings are based on recent ancestors' phylogeny. Review question. What is meant by a phylogenetic tree? Answer. A phylogenetic tree is a branching graph that shows the evolutionary interrelationships between species and shows the common ancestor. Each node represents the recent common ancestor of the descendants. The lengths of the branches are time estimates. The concepts of coevolution and mutualism. Coevolution is the interdependent evolution of species that interact ecologically. Each party in a coevolutionary relationship exerts selective pressures on the other, thereby affecting each other's evolution. Evolution in a one-to-one interaction, such as that between a specialized host-symbiont or host-parasite pair, is coevolution. Mutualism refers to any relationship between two species that benefits both species. Mutualisms can be lifelong interactions involving close physical and biochemical contact, non-symbiotic interactions, and may also be obligatory or non-obligatory. Now let's discuss the kingdom Plantae and plants. Plantae are eukaryotes in the domain Eukarya. Plants are multicellular eukaryotic producers that perform photosynthesis. Plant cells have cell walls similar to prokaryotes. Plants are photosynthetic multicellular eukaryotes. Embryophytes are a group of plants made up of bryophytes and vascular plants, such as trees, flowers, fern mosses, and other green land plants. Embryophytes produce an embryo that is protected by tissues of the parent plant. Some unique characteristics of plants are: most plants reproduce sexually and are capable of asexual propagation. Alternation of generations is a universal feature of the life cycle of plants. Gametes are produced by mitosis. Meiosis produces spores that develop into multicellular haploid individuals. And the life cycle includes both multicellular diploid and multicellular haploid individuals. The role of plants in the ecosystem. within the ecosystem, feeding on lower organisms leads to energy transfer and energy flow. Energy is also required by members of the ecosystem, including plants, that perform reactions such as photosynthesis and cellular respiration. Now let's discuss the kingdom Animalia and animals. Animalia are eukaryotes in the domain Eukarya. Animals are multicellular eukaryotic heterotrophs. Most animals consume plants or animals, including insects, or both. Some features of animals. Animals have the ability to develop motile sperm and non-motile eggs. Animals are characterized by diploid cells. Animals develop from embryos. They reproduce sexually, and animals are capable of complex and rapid movements. Here's another review question. Question: what are some unique characteristics of plants? Answer: unique characteristics of plants include the fact that most plants reproduce sexually and are capable of asexual propagation. The life cycle includes both multicellular diploid and multicellular haploid individuals. The alternation of generations is a universal feature of the life cycle of plants. Meiosis produces spores that develop into multicellular haploid individuals, and gametes are produced by mitosis. Now let's move on to discuss ecology and the different factors of ecology and ecosystems, beginning with population dynamics. Population. Organisms in the population can be divided into groups according to their age, stage, sex, and other characteristics. The resources, such as food shelters, nesting places, and their physical space. Enemies, such as predators, parasites, and pathogens. Their environment, air, water or soil, temperature, composition, and variability of these characteristics in time and space. A population life table. An age-dependent life table shows organisms' mortality or survival and the reproduction rate as a function of age. Mortality and reproduction rate may depend on numerous factors, such as the temperature, population density, etc. In a life table, the effect of these factors is averaged, and only age is considered as a factor that determines mortality and reproduction. An overview of ecology. The different branches of ecology include physiological ecology. Physiological ecology is concerned with how the individual organisms meet the challenges of its physiochemical environment. Population ecology. Population ecology concentrates mainly on factors that control the population size. Community ecology. This is the study of all the organisms that inhabit a particular area and their interactions. An ecosystem. An ecosystem includes all the abiotic factors and the communities that exist in a certain area. The ecological niche of a species refers to its lifestyle, how it lives, what it does, and how it interacts with other members of its ecosystem. The habitat is where the species are found. Hence, the habitat is the address of the species, and we can think of the niche as its occupation. Community ecology is the study of all the populations that inhabit a particular area and their interactions with each other. Many different kinds of populations inhabit an area and make up the ecosystem of that area. The ecosystem includes the physical components along with the living populations of a particular area. Human impact on ecosystems. There's no doubt that humans have had a tremendous impact on different ecosystems of the world, both negatively and positively. One example of the impact that humans have had on ecosystems is the effect on urban ecosystems. Not only are the number of indigenous species to that region affected, but also the type of species that can survive long term. Even though human civilization can bring large quantities of some resources to an area to support large plant and animal populations, it's the very existence of those particular elements that force certain species to be displaced from that region. This leads to an overall decrease in species abundance in the urban ecosystems. Now we'll move on to discuss tips on how to study AP biology. Connect topics together. As part of your studying, connect new topics to the things you already know. Use a concept map to connect the ideas and the information. Then apply such an understanding to your problem solving. Effective study techniques include, 1, if you have trouble understanding the material, ask questions, either in class, before or after class, or during office hours. Don't let these burning questions go unanswered and pile up on you. 2, partner with someone who's also taking the same test, and study together, or form a study group to help and motivate one another. Focus on the concepts and the connections. Everything may not make sense all at once. Focusing on the concepts and how these concepts fit into the big picture will help you succeed in AP biology. In biology, often the question will be based on the actual concept as opposed to the overall action. When studying biology, it's helpful to think at the molecular and cellular levels. Push deeper to understand the concepts at the molecular and cellular levels. Oftentimes, biology will discuss concepts at the cellular level, but relate these to events to the body system or the effect on the entire organism. Practice, practice, practice. Practice biology problems to enhance what you learn and the connections. Do the full-length practice tests to familiarize yourself with the AP format. Be persistent until you get it. Resist the temptation to look at the solution guide or Google the answers. Memorization tools. How to create your own mnemonics. Typically in science, keyword mnemonics are a great way to memorize what is needed for class. Here's a simple 3-step process to do so. Step 1, list the keywords in a logical order. Step 2, write down the first letter of each keyword. And step 3, create a word, phrase, or sentence from the first letters of these keywords. For example, to remember the steps in meiosis 1, which are prophase, metaphase, anaphase, and telophase, the first letters of each word are removed and phrases are created. So the P, M, A, T are created into the phrase, put more art together. And that's it. If you ever get stuck in hard to remember terms, try to create a mnemonic. They are a great memorization tool. Here are some test preparation strategies, including time management, concept mastery, practice, and review. The following is a 4-step review process. Follow this 4-step process to successfully study and prepare for the AP Biology exam. 1 is to manage your time. Use your time wisely. 2 is to make sure you understand the concepts. 3 is to do practice problems. And 4 is to review efficiently, which feeds back into time management. Another important idea is forward planning. Plan ahead. Set a study schedule. Set aside some time slots every day to study. Do not put off your study schedule. You need to practice every day in the coming weeks and months to prepare for the AP exam. Long-term study goals. Some students incorrectly believe that if they study more as the test date approaches, they'll remember more. Building long-term memory by studying in set doses ahead of time increases memory and the understanding of concepts. If you cram too much information and make yourself nervous the night before the exam, you might get into a mental indigestion. Study aids. Use the following study aids to help you in your studying. A cheat sheet to be used at home. A cheat sheet is a summary of what you've learned. It should include the key terms and concepts. Also, flashcards. Flashcards are index cards with a question on one side and the answer on the other side. And this gives you the opportunity to test yourself by using the flashcards. Be brief and do not write everything out in detail. Now we'll review some important test-taking strategies. Test-taking tips. Follow these steps during the test. Know the basic layout of the test before you take it. Plan your attack the minute the test begins. Use focusing techniques to improve your score and performance. Apply techniques to eliminate incorrect answers. Test day tips. To prepare for test day, arrive early and prepared. Double check the time and location of the test. Have a backup alarm clock just in case. And arrive at least 15 minutes early for the test. Knowing the test format is another useful tip. By the time you take the exam, you should memorize the instructions and memorize how the test proceeds. Know the number of questions in each section and the time allotted for each section. Know what type of questions are in each of the two sections. Plan your attack. Spend at least 30 seconds to go through the questions at the beginning of a section. Pace yourself on your watch after making a mental note of the halfway point and when you should be there. Set a time limit for each question. You can divide the total time allowed by the number of test questions to estimate the time limit per question. A good limit is about 1 or 2 minutes to answer each question. Here are some specific multiple choice exam tips. Don't waste time on any one question. The difficulty does increase in general, but you may be more familiar with some of the later topics. The test is written so that you won't know everything. Don't waste time on questions that are obvious ones you don't know or haven't studied. Move on and come back if there's time at the end. The score is determined in the following way. You're awarded 1 point for every correct answer, but you are deducted 1/4 point for every incorrect answer. You are not awarded or deducted any points for blank answers. This is to eliminate random guessing. If you can eliminate at least 2 of the choices, go ahead and guess from the rest. If you can't eliminate, don't guess. Another important tip is to avoid word traps. There's often more than one way to phrase something. Try to rephrase things into terms you're familiar with. Let's think about an example. Question: which of the following statements about oxidative phosphorylation and the electron transport chain is correct? One way to rephrase this question into more familiar terms might be to rephrase oxidative phosphorylation and electron transport chain into ATP production in the mitochondria. Then you're able to focus on each of the answers to choose the correct one. Make sure you choose the best answer. Review all the answers before you choose one. There might be more than one correct answer. However, the question usually asks you to choose the best answer in these cases. Let's look at an example. Which of the following statements best describes the difference between meiosis and mitosis? A. Meiosis has more steps than mitosis. B. Mitosis has more steps than meiosis. C. Recombination takes place. D. Recombination takes place between homologous chromosomes. And E. Meiosis takes place in fewer cells of the body. While choice A and E are correct, meiosis has more steps, and meiosis takes place in fewer cells of the body, it's missing some information. The key point is that recombination takes place between homologous chromosomes in meiosis, and therefore this would be the best answer to this question. There are exceptions to break the rule. There are very few absolutes in biology. Although it'd be easier to learn biology if there were more absolutes, cells, tissues, and organisms are more complicated than that. And let's listen to an example. Which of the following statements is correct? A. All proteins are enzymes. B. All the proteins in a cell are made from a DNA template which resides in the nucleus. C. Both A and B are correct. D. The hormones of the endocrine system are transported by proteins. Or E. None of the statements are correct. The correct choice for this question is E, and this is based on the following. A. While a lot of proteins are enzymes, there are signaling proteins that do not function as enzymes. B. The mitochondria also contains DNA in addition to the nucleus. And D. Although there are hormones that travel bound to plasma proteins, there are also hormones that do not. Here's some tips for the free response questions or essay questions. Answer the whole question, including each subpart. However, don't give extraneous information to show everything you know about a topic. It won't get you any more points. Also, as extra information is written in your answer, the odds of including an incorrect statement increase. You can spend so much time writing everything you know about a particular topic that you actually miss answering the actual question. Another tip is to reread and proofread. After you've written your essay answer, reread each question and subquestion to ensure you have answered everything and not missed a part. And once you're satisfied you've completely answered the question and any subquestions, proofread your answers. This will ensure you actually wrote what you intended, and it will prevent unnecessary mistakes. Summary. The following is a summary of what you have learned in this tutorial. The scope of the exam. The writers acknowledge that teachers vary a little in the content and emphasis of a general biology course. They do not expect any one student to know all the answers. The cell cycle is a series of events that takes place before the cell divides during mitosis. There are regulatory molecules such as cyclins and cyclin-dependent kinases which determine a cell's progression through the cell cycle. Most biochemical reactions are catalyzed by enzymes. For reactants to form products, a certain input of energy is necessary to get things going. And this is called the energy of activation. Don't waste time on any one question. The difficulty does increase in general, but you may be more familiar with some of the later topics. Congratulations on completing the Introduction to AP Biology audio tutorial. For more audio and visual tutorials in chemistry, biology, physics, and math, go to www.rapidlearningcenter.com. Thank you.